Well, praise the Lord. Once again, welcome to everybody that's here. I want to welcome everybody who is watching on Facebook. If you're not a part of this church body, we welcome you here anyway. We're glad you found the time to be with us today. We're broadcasting live from Texas House of Prayer, right here in the heart of Johnson County, Texas. And we're glad that you've chosen to be a part of us this morning. I'm going to be continuing a series that I started last time I preached, and last time I preached was Father's Day. And the series is entitled A Biblical View of the Family. This will be part two, in subtitled Valuing Our Fathers. The last time I preached was on Father's Day, and I started, and the title of that message, part one, was In the Beginning. And we'll briefly recap in a moment and then go forward for part two. But since it was Father's Day, my mom and my dad sometimes tune in to get the benefit of the word that comes forth from this place. They not only listen to me, but to Jason and Dustin, whoever else is preaching. And I'm thankful for all the word, the powerful word of God that goes forth from this place. But it was Father's Day. My mom sent me a picture later on in the day of me. She puts it on somehow on her TV screen, which is a big giant TV screen above their mantle. And my dad was standing there looking up at me as I was preaching. And it's just a wonderful picture. Just touched my heart to see that. And what a blessing it was. Father's Day, my father watching me preach. My father has advanced stages of dementia. I'm not sure he knew who he was watching, but he was watching. And I just want to say, if you think I look amazingly handsome on a small screen, you should see me on a big screen. I mean, the big screen is the way to go. Now, let me just stop and say, if handsome was not the adjective that you would have chosen, if it was scary or extremely bald or whatever, you add your own adjective. I'm not talking about me right now. I'm talking about the big screen, okay? That's the way to go. All right. We're going to return for just a little bit to part one in the beginning and recap. We said that the world did not start with me. It's important to understand how this whole thing got started, because we can't understand rightfully our place in it until we understand what it is. Our place in what? The world did not start with me. Life did not start with me. Knowledge, wisdom, integrity, kindness, generosity, etc. did not start with me. I was born into a family, and that family and a host of others helped me become who I am today. I didn't get here on my own, and brothers and sisters, you didn't either. We all stand on the shoulders of those that have gone before. We have to understand that, because it is the height of arrogance and pride to think that we can do it and we just so blessed and so smart and so everything. You couldn't even wipe your own bottom without somebody training you how to do it. And thank God most of us got trained. We stand on the shoulders of those that went before us. And they went before us for a reason. All human life since Adam starts in a family. Adam's entry into this wonderful world was a result of creation. God had no other help. It was just God creating out of the dust of the earth the man that he wanted to bring into the world and to start it all. But after Adam and Eve, and Eve was created from the rib of Adam, she was created by God. but not from the dust of the earth, but from Adam's rib. But after Adam and Eve, entry into this world was and still is a result of procreation. Procreation is a process. It involves two people coming together the way God intended for us to come into the world. But what we all came into, Adam, and then all the rest of us, we came into a world that was relying upon either God creating us, as in Adam and Eve, or the procreation process that God had instituted. None of us made ourselves. None of us had given us the internal wiring that we have. We have messed it up, some of us. We have enhanced it, some of us. But none of us created that. We were born into a family first. Then, from there, we were pushed and thrust into the larger world. The most formative years of our early life were intended by God to be filled with teaching, training, and nurturing by loving parents. Now, much of what I'm going to say today is the will of the Lord taken from the Scriptures. I'm not going to concentrate a lot on all the different variations of how I might mention some things, but I'm not going to go into every different variations of what could happen and what does commonly happen today. One-parent homes and no parents and all the different things that happen. I'm talking about the will of God. We need to understand what it ought to be so that we can do our best to get to it. We were born with a divine purpose to fulfill. We need to find our role in the family business, obeying the Lord and serving Him in His kingdom. We saw that the relationship between a father and his children is a serious matter with the Lord. It's not a light thing. Malachi chapter 4 and verses 5 and 6, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." This relationship thing between a father, and I'm going to talk a lot today about fathers. I'm not trying to leave the mothers out. The mothers are extremely important. We honor our mothers. The Scripture said, honor your father and your mothers. But there is so much Scripture that talks about the relationship of children with their fathers. The father should be the ultimate authority in the home. The wife should be there supporting that authority and helping to carry things out. But so oftentimes, we fail to get things wrong with mothers because we fail to get them wrong with fathers. Or we get them wrong, we get them more right with mothers because we are fighting against the father, and we see this as an opportunity to get at him by having a stronger relationship with our mother. Some people. Not you folks, but others I've known. But it's important that we understand that the Scripture has a lot to say about fathers. We found out that we are to honor mother and father, our earthly mothers and fathers, even though, unlike Adam, who had a perfect creator, those who are involved in our procreation are imperfect. Those who have been given to us to teach us and to train us and prepare us for life, unlike Adam, who had God, who it didn't take Adam 20 years to reach maturity because he was in the presence of Almighty God, and what was in him at the time and what God poured into him, it was strong and powerful and pure. We don't get it that strong. We don't get it that powerful. We don't get it that pure because it comes through imperfect channels. Our parents are imperfect, but we are to honor our mother and father anyway. To honor means to value highly. To honor is to prize or to fix a value on. That's what the actual Greek word means when it is used in the New Testament, when honor is translated from the Greek word. Honoring father and mother is the first manward commandment and is the first commandment with a promise. This is more important to God than many realize. Honor due to God and honor due to earthly fathers is often spoken of in parallel. They're used and spoken of oftentimes to bring clarity to how it should be to the other. We should honor our Father in heaven, our Father on earth, as we do our Father in heaven. We should treat our Father in heaven. If we give our earthly Father honor, why wouldn't we give our Heavenly Father honor? It's back and forth with how God uses this relationship because they're tied together. They're in parallel with one another. The two are often mentioned together. To recognize that it is right to do to one is to recognize that it is right to do to the other. If you honor the Lord, you should honor your Father. If you honor your Father, then you should know how to honor the Lord. And this is a theme that is seen throughout the Scriptures in other areas. If we say we love the Lord, but we don't love our brother in Christ, then we're deceived. The two go together. If we really love the Lord, we love our true born-again brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. If we're committed to Him, we're committed to them. And if we can easily walk away from them, we can easily walk away from Him. There is a direct link and correlation between the two. There's a lot of things that happen in Scripture that are strongly tied relationally one to the other. If you honor the Lord, you should honor your Father. If you honor your Father, then you should know how to honor the Lord. We enter this world to become part of a family unit that is under God and under the authority of a father and mother. A family committed to serving and obeying their God. A family unit with God-ordained roles and responsibility to yield to, and a God-ordained mission to fulfill. We did not come into the world to blaze our own trail, to be our own boss, or to do our own thing, to be a maverick, to be whatever that, you know, I did it my way. That's not why we came into this world. We are here to finish the same way we started, as a loving, giving, committed part of a God-ordained whole. When it's done correctly, we understand that we have been placed into and now belong to something that is worthy of our faithful support and full participation. We honor His authority by submitting to and honoring His delegated authority. You want to honor God? Honor Him in every way that honors Him directly, but also honor Him in every way that honors Him indirectly through His ordained authority. And that starts in the family, and it starts with our Father. See, God knows the human weakness and failings of our fathers and our mothers, yet He still expects us to honor them. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. To honor is to recognize the benefit provided by the person being honored. It is to value that benefit. It is to recognize the God-ordained position that the person occupies. That's the second part of it. To honor them is to recognize what benefit they bring to your life, and then also to honor them is to recognize they're in a position that God has placed them. To dishonor is to fail to recognize the benefit of someone and or to fail to recognize their position of authority. It is to allow a perceived failure in that person in one area to be greater than all the benefit found in other areas. That is to dishonor. That brings us up now to part two, honoring our fathers, which is valuing our fathers. We're going to use more now the term value, because that's what honor means, is to value. If you value something, you prize it. If you value something, you seek to protect it, to maintain it. Valuing our fathers. And we're going to talk about six things, six major categories of how we can value our fathers and show that and demonstrate. Because it's not enough to say, I honor them in my heart. That's not honor. That's having nice thoughts. Honor is demonstrating. Honor comes out of you. It's not just within you. Number one, listening to them shows that we value them. Listening to them. Well, what would we listen to? We listen to instruction and training. Listen to this in Proverbs chapter 1:8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And he goes on from there with a warning about falling in with the wrong crowd. But he starts off by saying, listen to me. Listen to the wisdom of a father. And it's repeated over and over and over again. It's amazing how when I was a younger man, I used to read the Proverbs, and I always heard God speaking to me through that verse. That God was saying, listen to me. And He is. But if we read it as it's written, it is a human father speaking to his son, saying, my son, listen to me. You will become wiser if you listen to me. That changes things immensely if we understand that it's not just God that we should be listening to as an adult. It is our fathers. Now, we can probably all agree that everybody, these young children's age, ought to be listening to their moms and dad. But in our heads and in our hearts, somewhere along the way, we think that when we get to a certain age, that listening to our fathers is no longer a part of the equation. But I think you'll see through a study of the Word of God that when Solomon, speaking to his son, and he tells them not to fall into the wrong crowd, he was not talking about don't go around with a gang of unruly toddlers. He's talking to them about people who were old enough to devise wicked schemes. He was talking to a son who was old enough to go out and do damage to property and to people and to cause all kinds of mayhem and heartache. He was talking to a grown person to some degree. He was also, later on you'll see, when he was giving a warning, he was talking to a son that needed to stay away from the wicked women who tried to entice him away from goodness into her bed. He's not talking to a preteen. He's not talking to a young person. He's talking to somebody who could be tempted by that. So when we hear the father say, listen to me, it is a father talking to an older son. See, a good father will teach you how to live and how to work and how to avoid pitfalls. Sure, this should be happening since birth. It should be happening all along. It shouldn't wait until the son gets to be this age. But it doesn't stop at that age. We don't stop listening. That's the father's duty. So what we're talking about today is our response. Our response is, I'm going to honor you by listening. And immediately, everybody's who has fathers that aren't perfect in this area thinks, you wouldn't want to listen to my father. Okay. I agree, there are fathers out there that their counsel, their guidance, and their stuff, you know, would have no benefit to a Christian life. But how many people who do have godly fathers, who do have things to say, are using the same excuse? I'm a grown man. I don't need to hear anybody else. I'm doing it my way. I'm proving that I'm a man by walking away from this council and doing it my way. So again, we're concentrating on what the Word of God says as it's intended. I can't go everywhere and step on every cockroach. They're going to be out there. We're going to have to deal with them as they come up. But what we can't fail to do is understand that those of us who can respond in a godly way and should respond in a godly way, to fail to because we fall prey to a misunderstanding. And I think, to be honest with you, I was talking to Susan last night, I think, to be honest with you, some of the issues that I had as a Christian man came from this idea that I'm a grown man now, I'm in right relationship with God finally, I'm listening to Him, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm learning the Word of God, I've been called to preach, all these good things are happening to me, I don't need anything else because I've outgrown that. A wrong understanding. You know, you can be a man of God, you can even be preaching and have a wrong understanding, and it can affect how you live life. It can affect all kinds of things. So we want to go back to the Word of God. We want to receive all revelation that He has for us and live in that, because we will benefit as we do. A good father will teach you how to live, how to work, how to avoid pitfalls. He will teach you from lessons from his own life. And most importantly, he will teach you how to trust the Lord. Once again, this is a godly father. This is someone who cares. This is someone who has wisdom to pass on. All of us ought to be listening. If nothing else, listen to know that that's not going to come. How do you know it's not going to come? Because I've been listening all this time. And I'm still listening. If it comes, I'm going to hear it. Never turn off listening. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. My son, forget not my law. Again, I always read this. This is the Lord speaking to me. My son, don't forget my law, my word. No, this is the Father. Forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Well, if this is coming and we have a father who is speaking and who can give us that clear of instructions, then it is ultimately coming from God. I see all wisdom ultimately coming from God, but we should not shut off the channels that He wants to use. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. This is good stuff to be listening to. If you're blessed enough to have a father that says, my son, trust the Lord. My son, my daughter, follow in the footsteps of the Lord. My son, my daughter, don't be deceived. Don't follow vain persons. Don't give yourself to things that don't have any eternal weight or glory. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. This is about listening. See, you already know, and this is a good rule to learn, regardless of your father speaking or anybody else who you should be listening to. You already know what you know. So valuing your father's instruction by seeking it and listening to it will give you a greater perspective and deeper understanding. Why? You already know what you know. I'm open to learn more. I'm going to be wiser if I learn more. I am going to be more useful to the kingdom of God if I learn more. Never shut off listening. Listening honors those who've been placed in your life to help you. Listen to wisdom. Wisdom is correctly applied knowledge. It's not just knowing things, it's knowing what to do with what you know. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." Again, this is God's wisdom coming through the voice and the heart of a father. "And hide my commandments with thee so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and if thou liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest after her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." A godly father will also sometimes speak into your children's ears, your childish ear, your young teen years, your mid-teen years, your adult ears, words of warning. You never stop caring as a father. If you're a loving father, you never stop caring. And you never stop having, you should never stop having an advantage of life experience. You stop having an advantage of life experience when you stop learning from your own life. I never want to do that. I never want to be guilty of that. I never want to know all I know and never have anything else to learn. So if I have that heart as a man and as a father who am seeking the Lord continually, no matter how wise my children get, no matter, and I want them to be, no matter how advanced they get, no matter how much they exceed me, in some areas, there will always be some areas that I've experienced things that they haven't experienced. So as a son, if I have a father who is offering to me a warning, I should at least listen and prayerfully consider, "Lord, is this you speaking?" And I should value my father for doing it. Thank you, Father, for loving me enough to warn me. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers and write them upon the table of thy heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman and from the stranger which flattereth with her words." He's warning his son. I don't care how old my kids get. I don't care how mature they get. I don't care how much they bypass me in certain areas. I just celebrate it when they do. Daniel is so much more advanced technically in technical things, in tech things than I am. But so is Tim. So is Jennifer. Jennifer, can you help me put my Facebook, my picture on my Facebook profile? I need help in every area. So that's probably not a good example. They're all better than me. My grandkids are probably better than me in tech stuff. But there are areas, in grown-up adult areas, where my kids outstrip me, go on beyond me. And I don't try to hold them back, pull them back. "Hey, kiddo, what are you doing? You can never be smarter than your father." In certain areas, you certainly can. In certain areas, I hope you sure are. But I never want to get to the place where if I see something that they don't, that I feel like I can't warn them and them understand that it's coming from a place of love and compassion and concern. That should be a heart of a son, to heed and listen to the warning of his father. And not just an earthly father, spiritual father. I have been used of God to bring warning to many people that I care deeply about who are not my biological children, but spiritually I have a father role in their lives. Some things are received, some things are appreciated, others become the reason for breaking of a relationship. What a pity, what a shame that it wasn't valued. I don't want to be honored as a father or a spiritual father for my benefit. I don't want to be heard. Being listened to, if you know me at all, being listened to is extremely important to me. I feel very dishonored if I'm not being listened to. I don't know why. It's probably the most dishonoring thing that you can do to me is not listen. But it's not because I feel like in myself and in my flesh I have anything to offer. In fact, that's why when I'm not preaching and when I'm not helping somebody understand the Word of God and when I'm not walking with you through an area of life, I probably don't have a lot to say. You don't have to struggle to listen to me if I'm not telling you something I feel like God wants me to say. But when I am, I want to be heard. Why? Because God needs to be heard. I hope you're listening this morning. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. As you gratefully receive a warning and are thankful for it, you are showing the value you place on the one bringing the warning and the love and the care that they showed to you. Most people don't warn their enemies. If I bring in a warning to you, it's not because I don't like you and because you're an enemy of mine. I don't warn my enemies. You sneak up on your enemies, but you warn your friends, you warn your children. If a warning comes, honor enough to at least consider it and to be thankful for it. Then lastly, in the area of listening, listening as a matter of general respect. You say, my dad's not one to talk about the Lord. He's not one to give me help, counsel, instruction, warning. What about just learning to honor just by listening when they talk? I remember listening to a public radio broadcast of an author who wrote, I think this was his second book. His first book made him famous and he's putting out a second book. And he was talking about after the fame he received from his first book, he got re-involved with his estranged father who he had known for years and years and years. But his dad suddenly wanted to be a part of his life again. And he felt like it was important for him to get involved with his dad again. And they went on a road trip together. And he said, for the first half of that road trip, I was miserable because I wanted to keep telling my dad things. I wanted him to see how I have grown up, how I've matured, how I've changed. And I wanted him to get me. This was the thrust of his relationship with his father. I want him to get me. There's not a son in this place who doesn't feel the same thing. I want my father to get me. I want him to understand me. But he said, you know what I found out? He said, right now in our relationship, he doesn't need to get me. I need to get him. I need to understand him. I need to stop my talking and start listening. I want to hear what makes my dad tick. If he's a messed up man, why is he messed up? I want to hear the trouble that he got into. Not to glorify that, but I want to know, how did this man become who he is? I want to understand him better so I can have more compassion upon him. Just learning to listen. Listening is a skill that has to be developed. And I think all of us have, at times, the propensity to speak when we should be listening. That's even more pronounced and worse when it's you speaking when you should be listening to someone above you. Then we should honor them. Our deference and subjection to them shows them that we value them. Our deference and subjection to them. Our deference as an adult, deferring to them, a subjection to them, to obey. Obedience comes from either fear of personal loss or harm, or it comes from a place of deep respect. I don't want anybody to have to fear me or your own father or anybody out of fear. I know some people do, but that's not what I'm promoting here today. I'm promoting that we all learn, myself and all of us learn, to show deference and be obedient to those that we should out of deep respect. As a mature person, obey when you can from that place of respect. Do it to demonstrate how much you value them. Allow them to occupy a higher place than you. This shows deference. When you allow them in your mind and in your actions, allow your father to be a father. Allow him to be in a higher place. Allow him to sit in dad's chair. Allow him, if he wants to walk more slowly, allow him to walk slowly. Come alongside him. Defer to where he is. I remember a preacher preaching one time telling a story of when he was preaching at another church and the meetings were going fine and he was spending time in the daytime. He had meetings in the evening. He was in the daytime. He was spending time with his host, who was the pastor of the church. And the pastor of the church was the son of a minister. And for a couple of days, almost everything out of that man's mouth was my dad this and my dad that, and he wasn't in an appreciative, valuing way. He was saying about how everybody always, compares him to his dad, and I remember hearing your dad preach a message like that. His was good. He said, "I'm sick of being compared to my dad. I'm sick of my dad always being in the picture." And he said, "I got real angry and I told him, my dad died when I was a little boy. I would love to have your problem." He said, "Your complaining is not making me feel one bit sorry for you. I envy you." You value your parents when you allow them to be ahead of you. Now, like I said before, if they're good parents, they're going to really be pleased when you pass them up in areas. But if you pass them up in 20 areas, and there's only 5 areas left, don't you think that those 5 areas don't count? And don't you think that you should stop valuing them because you're so much farther beyond them in so many areas? Value them in a general sense and value them in a specific sense for the things that you see that they're past you in and remain past you in. Submission means to place yourself under. This is an act of strength, not weakness. When you position yourself under those in authority, you're not weak, you're strong. Next, Your readiness and willingness to receive from them shows that you value them. Your readiness and willingness to receive from them shows that you value them. Receive their help towards you in reaching greater success in life. Receive their help. Don't be stubborn, resentful, and proud. Some people don't want daddy's help. Any of daddy's money, I'm going to do it my way. There's a point when, you know, we have to say, I'm not going to live off of that. But to arrogantly and stubbornly say, I'm not going to allow benefit to come when that benefit is a show of love. Receive their help. And then if you have to reject it for one reason or another, and only you and God know that it's right when to reject help, do so respectfully. Thank you so much, Dad. Thank you for that. But I think I need to do this with myself this time. But can you keep an eye on me? Can you watch out for me? Can you let me know if I'm messing up? I don't want to cut you out in this project altogether, but I think I need to take the lead on this one. Do it respectfully. Receive correction. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 7 through 10. If we endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if he be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. I'll stop there. We have fathers who've corrected us, and we reverence them for it. We should continue that. Anytime correction. This is not a warning that something may go wrong. We talked about that already. This is correction that something has gone wrong, that you're doing the wrong thing. Son, you shouldn't. I need to talk to you. I see you're not treating your wife in a way that honors her or honors the Lord. Son, that's no way to have a healthy marriage. I'm only telling you this because I love you. Or whatever the correction is. Receive correction. Don't fight against it. You honor them by receiving their correction. It doesn't say you honor them by liking their correction, but by receiving it and being thankful for it. You honor them by speaking well of them. You value them by what you say. Your speaking of them and to them shows that you value them, expressing to them your appreciation for their virtues, for what is right in their life, for what works in their life. Expressing that to them. We always want to hear good things coming from Daddy. We always want to hear Daddy praises. And we should. And dads ought to be doing that. But there is absolutely nothing wrong and everything right about, thank you, Dad, for what you've been in my life. Thank you, Mom, for what you've meant to me. Thank you for who you are. Expressing to others your appreciation of them and their virtues. You know, I'm amazed at some of the high school friends that I used to be friends with in high school and now friends with on Facebook. How many of them post, and I don't judge my lack of Facebook post about my dad on Facebook, because I don't post anything on there. I don't accept sermons. And something God puts on my heart. But if I was somebody who put a lot of stuff on Facebook, I really appreciate how these people do it. They talk about, here's a picture of my old dad, arm around dad. I knew him when I was young. I knew what that dad looked like. Now I see him now. Yeah, he's old. This is the best man in the world. I love this man. Thank you, God, for this man. Thank you for the best daddy in the world. Expressing to others the value that they have for their fathers and mothers. Today would have been my father's 93rd birthday. He's been gone for 4 years now. Dad, we still miss you. That's honoring, showing value. And then be joyful when others speak well of them. Not just when you speak well of them, but be joyful. I remember this is kind of in line with what I was saying about the preacher who was talking about his father and how he's under his shadow and everything and how it irritated him. This was another similar sort of story. But this guy came from India, and I can't remember which one it was, but he said when he would go to speak at conferences, after he would speak, in America, people would come up to him, thank you, brother, that was good, that was great, da-da-da-da-da, and tell him about all the good things he was doing. He said, in my home country in India, after I'd speak, many people would come up to me, bless you, brother. Your father was a wonderful man. My father didn't preach today. I did. But there was an honoring of him by telling him how much they appreciated his father. They realized that that man and what he was bringing and what he offered to the body of Christ had a great deal to do with the blessing he received from his father. So allowing others to speak and having great sense of joy when others speak, valuing your parents. Following them shows that you value them. Follow their faith. I've got to hurry through this. Follow their example. As he follows the Lord, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow their example of serving the Lord. Follow their example of what they can accomplish and what they've been able to accomplish in their life. It's not just my father, but Susan's father. In some areas has been a great inspiration to me. And one area is in the way he takes care of his things. I have received some things through my parents that I didn't get from hers. And then later on, I got some things from her parents that I didn't get through mine. And I value both. And her father is always keeping things up, always maintaining, always tearing things down and building them back, making them better. Always had his lawn cut, always had his trees trimmed, always had things clean. Always had things in working order. He was constantly busy making their home and property something that would honor the Lord. And what you see in my life, however good I am at it, I guarantee you I'm a whole lot better than I would have been if I'd not had Susan's father's influence in my life. And I honor him for that, and I value what I learned from him. Now, he didn't teach me that. He didn't say, come here, son, let me teach you this. I just learned it by seeing what was important to him and how well he did it and how much better it made me feel being in that kind of environment rather than one that was all torn up and messy. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for his example. I value it. Follow their spiritual leadership. Paul's talking about Timothy. In Philippians chapter 2, he said, I'm going to send Timothy to you shortly. He said, I've got no man like-minded who will naturally care for your estate. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ. But he said, you know him, how he served with me in the gospel like a son. Timothy, my son Timothy was named because I had so much respect for Timothy's attitude and his commitment to Paul it just always meant so much to me as I got mature enough to read that and see the importance of it. Timothy served with Paul as a son in the gospel. He followed Paul's spiritual leadership and he served with him, and he served in a way that wasn't competing with him but complimenting him. And we are to follow as a continuation of the heritage, understanding our heritage and lineage. How many times in the Word of God does it talk about, use the term, your fathers? Your fathers. There was never a break. There was never what went before you doesn't matter. It was always, you're a part of something long. The lineage, the household, the lineage of David, the household of. You were always tied to the family. What we have going on in America today is ungodly and it's not biblical. And it's creating these, a lot of what we see today and how we respond to one another and to authority in general. You honored the fact that I was from this line. I was from this household. This was my father. And we were, should be okay to follow. And if you had a messed up family, if your family was somebody that had nothing good to offer, then say, okay, we're starting something here today and we're going forward. And it is going to be not a one-off, but it is going to be the beginning of a godly lineage. And then seeking to please them shows that you value them. Have a continual desire to bring pleasure to their heart. Luke chapter 3, verse 22, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. The Father looked down at Jesus and he proclaimed over him, You're my Son, and I'm pleased with you. It was on the heart of Jesus all the time to please his Father. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 24 and 25, The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. That is what we want. The number of times that when I pray unto the Lord, I say, Lord, I don't want to be famous. I don't want to be big. I don't want to have this or that or the other. All I want to do is to be a son that pleases you. I want to honor you. I want you to know that my life was lived out because I value what you've given to me through Jesus. Always seek to please them, but never, never, ever make their experience to be heaviness, sorrow, shame, or disgrace. Understand this, that my actions, your actions, could bring dishonor to my father and mother, to your father and mother, to their family name. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. Proverbs 10, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Proverbs 30, verse 17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. I think God takes this very seriously. I'm going to end now with this recap of these six practical ways of what the Bible says, how we can honor or show that we value our fathers. Number one, listening to them shows that you value them. Number two, your deference and subjection to them shows that you value them. Number three, your readiness and willingness to receive from them shows that you value them. Number four, speaking well of them shows that you value them. Number five, following them wherever you can, wherever it's possible, shows that you value them. And then number six, seeking to please them, having that desire to please, to bring joy to them rather than sorrow, shows that you value them. It is my prayer for myself as I go forward and for each and every one of you that we would all have greater revelation of what it means biblically to honor and to value first of all our fathers, then our fathers and mothers, and then from there all God-ordained authority. If we can't get it right, if we have something wrong, fundamentally, that's why we're going over this in this detail. If we can't get this right, it's going to affect us to some degree or another in every other aspect of life. We'll keep bumping in to the same issues that started when they were bumping in to our Father. If we don't get it right, if we don't learn how to be good sons, then we can't be good fathers ourselves. If we can't be good sons, we can't be good citizens. If we can't be good sons, then we'll not be able to be a blessing in the body of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for all that it does, Lord. I pray that You would take the words that have been spoken today. I pray that You would cause revelation to come forth. Lord, if there's any that need to make correction, that they make it. If there's any that need to voice a repentance to those that they have not valued, that would happen, Lord God. Lord, put us on a firm foundation so that we can go forward and be all that You've called us to be and be effective at it. In Jesus' name, amen.